When it comes to the plant-based eating debate, there's more to consider than just healthy or unhealthy. Of course, we want to eat things that make us feel good and generate energy to keep us going, but there's also a major environmental component that drives a lot of people to a plant-focused diet. But you don't have to give up some of your faves entirely. Impossible Foods makes meat from plants. They're solving the meat problem with more meat. By creating delicious meat from plants that's better for you and the planet, Impossible lets you enjoy some of your favorite meaty products with a plant-based twist. Ground beef, homestyle meatballs, sausage patties, all made from plants. And that's just a few of their delicious and versatile options. No more tension between craving meat but not wanting to eat so much of it, or sacrificing your carnivorous faves for your health. Indulge in nutrient-packed, plant-based goodness and feel good doing it. Check out impossiblefoods.com to see how you can help solve the meat problem with more meat. That's impossiblefoods.com.
Just a reminder that Diet Starts Tomorrow is a podcast for entertainment purposes only. It is not a medical podcast and does not constitute medical advice. Always seek the advice of a physician or a health professional. Hello and welcome to Diet Starts Tomorrow. I'm Emily.
And I'm Lauren.
And we're just a couple gals wearing our spring colors today. Lauren is decked out in full pink Barbie core. She's got a bedazzled sparkly buckle. I mean, if this is not the best dressed podcaster on the planet, I don't know who is.
Thank you, Emily. I accept this award. I just want to thank my Southern pageant mother for instilling in me the idea that you never know when you'll meet your husband.
Is that a real thing?
Yeah.
That reminds me of when we were talking to Lily Womble, and she said at age 5, it was like, you're never going to find a husband because you're too much. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, geez. I don't know about you, but I wasn't thinking about my wedding when I was in preschool. I wasn't thinking about any of that shit. I just wanted to go out in the backyard and hunt lions. I read the book Hatchet. I would make little tools.
You had a tomboy phase.
Yeah, I loved climbing trees.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was very rebellious. But, you know, I also had a hyper feminine mother. And I think there's a correlation. You either follow in the mother's footsteps.
Or you want to rebel.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I definitely went the rebellion route. I mean, when it came time to tweeze these bushy eyebrows of mine, she would chase me around the house with a tweezer. Gosh. Yeah, now it's starting to get dark. But it was out of love. It was,
My mom did something similar where this is disgusting. And I think I still struggle with this. I might want to talk about it later. But I don't love showering.
Okay.
That's a bomb to drop.
No, but I get it.
I don't enjoy it. I have my workarounds. Sometimes I don't do workarounds and I'm just a little gross. But when I was a teenager, it was really bad. And one time my mom came up behind me while I was watching TV. I was watching like Veronica Mars or something. And she put, this is like calling my mom out for abuse on the podcast, whatever. She put mayonnaise in her hand and smushed it on my head so that I had to shower.
You know what? I love that because little known fact, or maybe it's a widely known fact, I don't know. Mayonnaise, good for the hair.
That's what she was saying. She was like, it's fine. It'll make your hair.
That's like an old school hair hack. She's probably full of them. I feel like the Southern ladies, they invented all of this shit. Egg on the head, crack an egg on your head.
I'm so glad she didn't do that. I hate, have you seen those TikToks? They make me cry. It's just like recording core trauma memories in children where they, I don't even want to talk about it.
Oh, like, I know what you're talking about. Yes, mom will crack the egg on the head. That wasn't really what I was talking about. That's like they do it to freak out their kid. I was talking more for like a hair care hack. But yes, I have seen those. And I feel like it's wrong.
It's very wrong. It's very upsetting. The look on these child's faces, the moment they realize the person that they love the most and trust the most just hurt them. Why is that a trend? It is so uncool.
It's similar to, what was the show? Was it Kimmel? Where they filmed all the parents telling the kids that they ate their Halloween candy.
Those are kind of funny. But yeah. I mean, same thing.
It's funny, but like, it's funny because we're laughing at children being so taken aback and alarmed because we know it's not real, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, you know the egg on the head isn't really going to
hurt
them.
But you can't say just, you can't like punch somebody and go, that was a joke.
No, but that hurts.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. How did I end up defending them? I was just saying I don't like them.
I don't think you're defending them.
I just mean, like, I think we see it as like this harmless thing because we know it's not actually hurting them.
Yeah, we know they're going to get the Halloween candy in 2 minutes off screen.
Yeah, but still, in that moment, they're terrified.
Those kids are betrayed.
Yeah, so in that moment, you got to think about kids live moment to moment, much like dogs.
But at least kids grow up. A dog is a dog forever, which is why if you have a dog, crack an egg on their head.
Go for it. Tell your dog that you ate all of his Halloween candy. I don't give a fuck.
The dog will love you no matter what.
And speaking of loving people no matter what, and speaking of your mom, actually.
Oh, yeah.
You were telling me something very interesting that you grew up. We're talking about dairy today. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler.
You were telling me that you grew up in a lactate household.
I sure did.
Was it because your family, like, does lactose intolerance run in your family?
You know what? It must. I think I know what happened. I was a very gassy child, very musical. And, you know, I was in choir. And
she was a one-man band.
There was a lot of noises coming out of my body. And my family, as the listeners may know, and as you may know, I was raised by my mom and my grandparents on my mom's side.
Big mama, big daddy.
Big mama, big daddy. Great job. Mm-hmm. You get 10 points.
Thank you. 10 points for Gryffindor.
The points are worth nothing. It's just like, whose line is it anyway?
The points don't matter. Ayo.
But all three of them, I would just, you know, I would pass gas. Mm-hmm. As a Southerner, you're not supposed to say fart.
Oh.
You say pass gas.
Do you ever say toot or any cute
toot
word?
Was okay.
Okay.
Pass gas.
My fart is dirty.
My mom still gets mad if I say fart. I'm like,
really?
I'm 35.
I mean, it is a four-letter word.
It's an F word. anyways, I would just fart a lot as a kid. And my mom or big mama and big daddy, they would literally be like, go poop. Go poop.
Because they thought that if you farted, that meant you must need to poop.
Yeah, I failed to mention they were scientists, as they were not. I don't know. It was just like, they were like, she's farting. She must need to take a poop. And
sure. I mean, it's not crazy. I mean, sometimes, sure. But okay, so then they would tell you to go to the bathroom.
They would tell me to go to the bathroom, and I only, like, maybe 1 out of 10 times actually had to poop.
Sure.
And so I did this thing where I would fake poop to appease my family. Which involved a series of fake grunting, taking a cup of water and plopping it in the toilet.
No! Wait, do you go to the kitchen to get the cup, or is there a cup already in the bathroom?
It was a swishy cup for the...
For toothpaste? Yeah, for rinsing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, so you're dumping water in the toilet.
I had a system. This is me being an intuitive everything when I was a kid, because I was like, I don't have to poop, but I have no rights because I'm a child.
And you're also a people pleaser. So you're like, I need to make these people happy.
Exactly. So I would just fake poop a lot as a kid. And I was very gassy. And we did only drink fat-free lactate milk, which to this day I think tastes delicious. Anyways, my relationship with dairy has been very confusing. I'll cut to a quick story from a visit I had with a gynecologist maybe 8 years ago.
Okay.
And she was just asking me a series of health-related questions. And she goes, so how often do you experience diarrhea? Does this podcast need a trigger warning?
Can I just say I've never been asked that question by a gyno?
Yeah, I'm like, what made her ask this? Maybe
it feels like a leading question almost.
I think she was just trying to help me. She was also the one who taught me how to suppress my periods.
With birth control.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, that's normal for a gyno.
Yeah, you know? So that I appreciated. But then she had some other questions, and one was, how often do you experience diarrhea? And I said, oh, you know, like about twice a week like everybody else. And she did what you're doing. And
she probably was a little more concerned than I am.
I know, I think she was laughing. She was like, oh, honey, no, like you're not supposed to have diarrhea regularly. And so she was like, you're probably lactose intolerant, so you should cut down on dairy. And I was like, oh, that makes sense. Like, I didn't eat a lot of dairy growing up, and, like, I am a gassy gal. Mm-hmm. Anyways, cut to when I have my first meeting with my intuitive eating registered dietitian, who I magically found in that time when I had Medicaid. And I told her, I was like, I'm lactose intolerant. You know, it's an identity.
Yes, I have learned this. The lactose intolerant community, they really hold on to that as part mm-hmm. of their identity. I'm not going to take that away from them.
No, you know? It's like I'm a Virgo who's lactose intolerant. It's fun. It's cute.
Right.
It's girlhood.
Sure. So you tell that to your dietitian.
I tell her to my dietitian, and she was like, okay, well, let's experiment with having some dairy here and there and see how your body responds. At the time, I was doing a lot of logging, again, because I hadn't dieted in years, so I was able to handle some logging, and how certain foods made me feel. And through, like, about a year later, once I sort of had intuitive eating down a little bit, I was like, oh. I was like, my body can have dairy again. I mean, the jury's out. It's either something happened and then my body could have dairy again, or I was just eating like a little trash monster when I found, and that's why I was having diarrhea all the time, you know?
Right. Like, who's to say? I was thinking about this the other day, and this is only tangentially related, but I'll be quick. When you're intuitive eating, it can be hard to pin down certain things like that because you're not keeping close track.
Right.
So, like, when it comes time, if you do feel like you're having a sensitivity, it can be a little confusing to mm-hmm. like, and then you have to focus on cutting things out, and it makes you like want to be more conscious than you really should be. And so
it mirrors diet culture if you're like restricting a little bit. Yeah. So it is complicated.
When it comes to the plant-based eating debate, there's more to consider than just healthy or unhealthy. Of course, we want to eat things that make us feel good and generate energy to keep us going, but there's also a major environmental component that drives a lot of people to a plant-focused diet. But you don't have to give up some of your faves entirely. Impossible Foods makes meat from plants. They're solving the meat problem with more meat. By creating delicious meat from plants that's better for you and the planet, Impossible lets you enjoy some of your favorite meaty products with a plant-based twist. Ground beef, homestyle meatballs, sausage patties, all made from plants. And that's just a few of their delicious and versatile options. No more tension between craving meat but not wanting to eat so much of it, or sacrificing your carnivorous faves for your health. Indulge in nutrient-packed, plant-based goodness and feel good doing it. Check out impossiblefoods.com to see how you can help solve the meat problem with more meat. That's impossiblefoods.com.
Warmer weather is finally back. After so many cold months, it's nice to get outside and soak up the sun, but the springtime always brings those unwanted guests, pollen and seasonal allergies. April showers bring spring flowers and sniffly noses and stuffed up sinuses. Luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. I suffer from seasonal allergies. I just had them hit the other day. I couldn't breathe through my nose at all. And I popped a Claritin and it was like night and day. I'm a huge fan of Claritin. I use it on the regular and it always helps when we're making that transition from winter to spring, which is when my allergies flare up. Mainly it's my sinuses that get so clogged and the Claritin just clears it right up. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy throat and nose, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. Ready to live your life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. You were telling me that you put the non-dairy creamer in your milk.
Oh, yeah.
Your coffee.
And my coffee. Super basic tale. A lot of people are going to probably relate to this, but I ordered coffee with soy milk and because soy milk's delicious.
Soy milk is kind of retro now.
So good. I don't know. It's like.
It's passé.
I ask for it at counters all the time and they're like, we don't have soy milk. And I'm like.
What?
Yeah. And I'm like, I guess I'll get oat.
That used to be all they had, like the only alternative.
I know.
It's crazy. Now soy milk is out. She's not the it girl anymore.
She's not popular anymore.
But she is delicious. I completely agree. And the protein is more on par with mm-hmm. regular milk, which is why I like a soy.
And she's tummy friendly. You know, I'm not gassy because coffee's already a diuretic. So I'm used to putting non-dairy creamer in my coffee. I think a little of that is left over from being convinced I was lactose intolerant for a big portion of my life. But then the flip side is when it was time to order, I got an omelet with cheese. And my friend very kindly, like he wasn't trying to make fun of me. He was like, how come you have non-dairy creamer, but you have cheese on your eggs? And I was like, I can't explain it.
Yeah. Okay. And I've seen so many videos, like so much content, honestly, this Same. Past year, including on the Everything's Fine Instagram account about like, you know, that feel when you get oat milk in your coffee, but a pound of cream cheese on your bagel. And I'm seeing them everywhere. And I'm like, okay, clearly this is a universal thing. And it's funny because I posted to my Instagram story like maybe 6 months ago or something. Can somebody explain this phenomenon to me? Because I genuinely don't understand.
Oh my God, we can't explain it either.
No, like, so what happened was I got more responses to that Instagram story than any question I've ever asked on the internet ever. And they were all different answers.
Yeah.
Some girls, they were all girls who responded. Yeah. It is a girlhood thing, I think. And some people were like, okay, it's actually a nuance of being lactose intolerant. The milk I can't handle, but for some reason the cheese I can.
That's how I feel.
So, and I think there is something legitimate to that. I actually know there is because Alex Turoff, past guest of the show, chimed in as well and said that is a thing. Some people can process cheese. It's different for some reason.
Yeah.
Less lactose. And it depends what kind of cheese also. The harder the cheese, I think, the less lactose. Like Parmesan doesn't have a lot of lactose in it.
Right.
I digress. But so some girls said that, but then other girls said, no, it's more that dairy hurts my stomach, and if I'm going to splurge on something, I'm going to splurge on a bagel with a ton of cream cheese. I'm not going to splurge. Like, I'm not going to risk stomach issues for a little milk in my coffee. I'd rather risk it for the biscuit, so
to speak.
That
is some girl math, but girl math maths, you know?
Like, I mean, it does. It makes sense. I don't know. For me, if there was a food group that genuinely caused me stomach discomfort. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think anything is worth that risk for me. But again, that's easy for me to say because I don't have intolerances.
Well, see, that's what I mean is like when I get cheese on an omelet or make cheese toast at home, shout out to cheese toast stands in the audience. I'm being so weird today.
It's like an open-faced grilled cheese.
It's like a poor person food, but it's so good.
I mean, what's not to like?
It's so good. It's just white bread with a piece of cheese in the oven. Anyways, it doesn't upset my stomach, at least not anymore. But if I'm going to have like creamer, like cream creamer in my coffee, I'm like straight to the bathroom. Also, the other one dairy thing that my body can't have, and it makes me so sad because sometimes I do decide to have it. I make sure I don't have any plants. And that is cream cheese, dairy, cow, cream cheese.
Yeah, because cream cheese really would do a number on your stomach if you're lactose intolerant.
So good.
I mean, there's nothing like it.
I used to eat it out of you remember those silver wrappers of cream cheese at the hotels when you were a kid?
Yeah, the little individually wrapped. Yeah.
You'd open it up and just shove it in your mouth.
Yeah, I didn't do that, but I get it. I 100% get it.
This is why I was such a gassy kid. I was just pounding cream cheese cubes.
Well, so wait, but you love a Baby Bell cheese. The Baby Bell cheeses don't do that?
Somebody told me Baby Bells be plastic, don't have... No, I don't think they're like fake food. I think they don't have lactose. Shannon, can you check Baby Bell cheese? Is there lactose?
Yeah, check on that. I feel like obviously they're hyper-pasteurized. So, like, maybe that's something to do with it. I would not be surprised if it's not all cheese.
Hashtag not all cheese.
So, yeah, the Baby Bell cheese family, all of the products are actually lactose free. So, cool.
Wow. Okay. So, maybe blend up some Baby Bell cheese and put that in your coffee.
Gross.
Oh, that actually just reminded me. A few people also said there's no good alternative for cream cheese. Like the milk alternatives are solid, they're good, but vegan cream cheese, have you ever tried it?
Okay.
It's not that good.
I have a hot take opinion to this opinion.
Sure, I'm buckling in.
In any place that is not New York City, yes, there is no good substitution. But if you're in New York City and you get a New York bagel, everything bagel, toasted, and you smear some like non-dairy cream cheese product. Just the bagel itself is so good. And if it's crispy enough, just the cold texture and like the visualization of the white substance on the bagel, it actually does do it for me.
Okay.
But if I was in like Montana and had tofu spread on a Montana bagel, I would not eat it.
That's fair.
You know?
Yeah. I am such a snob about this. I wouldn't eat a bagel in any other state.
Like, oh, same.
If
same.
I'm on a road trip and somebody suggests stopping at a Dunkin' Donuts, I will stop at the Dunkin' Donuts. I'll get a whole box of munchkins for everybody.
Oh, but hell yeah.
I'm not ordering a bagel. Like, I really look down on the breakfast sandwich from Dunkin'. Like, that cannot be good.
It's not. I like a nice little cheap, shitty, like, 7-Eleven bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit or something like that.
Yeah, I would prefer a roll. Yeah. I would prefer, you know, something that they can do okay. Something they can do well. You can't do a New York bagel in another state. I'm sorry.
When I moved here, I tried my first bagel and it was like I was born, you know? Because I'd had bagels in South Carolina and I just thought, oh, bagels are hard. Bagels is hard bread. Like, jeans are hard pants, you know?
Sure.
And then I had a bagel here and I was like, oh, these are supposed to be good?
I'm really shocked. I'm not shocked in, like, I know that people grow up in other places, but just, like, never experiencing that bagel.
Sad.
That's so sad.
It is sad.
I'm sure you had a happy childhood otherwise. Yeah. Anyway.
We don't have to get into all that right
now. We're kind of straying from the dairy thing, but I just think it's so confusing. Like, dairy is one of these things that I think has become so demonized. And it's happened more so in the last, I would say, like 5 years than ever before. Like, we've reached an exponential growth of the shame associated with dairy. And it's gotten to the point where, like, I'll go to a coffee shop and they'll assume that I want oat milk.
Yeah. Have you ever heard somebody at the counter say, can I get an iced coffee and cow's milk? And, like, people say cow's milk now.
I have not heard somebody say cow's milk.
I heard that the other day and I was like, oh. I guess that's what they mean.
You have to differentiate that you want cow's milk. And the funny thing is, it's the only one that's actually milk. Yeah. You know?
Can I get pureed almonds?
Yeah. I can't do the almond milk thing. But, you know, almond milk is okay if it's buried in something. If it's like a mocha and there's sugar. Like, if it's a sugary, delicious drink on its own and then you put almond. But in just hot coffee.
Oh my God, it turns into those weird, like, broccolis in your coffee. If you pour almond milk in hot, it, like, broccolis up.
It curdles.
It curdles. It's so gross. I do have a drink story. I may have told you about this. A New York City bagel coffee house. It's such a long name.
I know. It's kind of the worst name. I know exactly what chain you're talking about. If they're in Astoria.
It's so hard to make plans to meet there. It's like, meet me at NYCBH.
Coffee and Bagel Company. New something York like that. City. I think Company is in it.
Yeah. And yeah, it is. It's like,
it's like New York and Company bagels and coffee.
You can get a blazer and a cappuccino.
By the way, that coffee shop is the most ridiculous place. I remember I would go in there all the time when I used to live in your neighborhood pretty much.
Uh-huh.
And I would go in there. First of all of the people who work there, part of their uniform is they have to wear fedoras. So they're
Oh my gosh, I remember that. I don't think they do anymore, but
they did away with the fedoras.
I remember that.
Okay, so they wear the fedoras, and then also you walk in, and they're blasting house music, all the time. And there are people on their computers. You know, it's a regular coffee shop. Mm-hmm. People go there to get work done.
It's like moms and their babies.
And meanwhile, it's just like, somebody scream. And it's like, what is going on?
Oh, my God. You're describing any place in Astoria. Like,
I know.
At any given time. It's so upsetting.
They're like trying to be Brooklyn so bad, and they should just stay as what they are.
Stay Astoria.
What I mean?
I go to brunch and I go, excuse me, do you mind if you turn the music down a little bit? Like I don't want to have to scream over my eggs.
No, I'm so with you. I can't do the loud music. Can you tell we're in our 30s? But tell me this. So you were at NYC Bagel Coffee Emporium Company.
And my favorite drink, because now I'm into drinks. If you haven't heard me talk about it ad nauseum after.
You're in your drink era.
I'm in my drink era. And they have a drink that is a frozen hot chocolate. And it is so good. And I order it with almond milk because, again, it's like cocoa powder. Like, you can't tell that it's almond milk doesn't ruin it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like this cold, frosty. The texture is perfect. The other day I went there with my friend Rachel and I got a frozen hot chocolate almond milk. And I'm drinking it and I'm like, oh my God, I forgot how good these are. I was like, try this. Oh my God. Like, I was losing my mind. I was like, this is the most delicious drink I've had in my whole life. I have to come here tomorrow. Cut to massive diarrhea all day. Just awful. Like,
it was too good.
Like, not, you know, not like trigger warning poop, not like mushy poops, but like diarrhea. Okay.
I'm familiar.
Later in the day, I realized, oh my God, they put cow's milk in this.
Yeah.
That's why it tasted like crack cocaine.
Oh, yeah.
Was because it was a cow milk drink.
Yeah. And you know that barista like realized her mistake or his mistake maybe 5 minutes after you left and thought, I just gave that girl diarrhea.
Emily, I think she knew the second she handed it to me because I went, she goes, frozen hot chocolate. And I go, with almond milk, right? And she goes, yeah, with a pause, with a pause.
That pause speaks volumes.
And I assume the best in people. And so I just took it. And it wasn't until like my fourth trip to the bathroom that I was like, wait a minute.
Oh my God.
I've been milk poisoned.
I think you need a refund for that coffee.
I almost called the place. I was pretty mad.
I've had similar exchanges before where they don't know what they're handing you. Like if it's a busy day and they're handing out so many drinks, they don't know what they're handing you. And then so you're like, this is two pumps of caramel, right? And they stare at you and they're like, uh-huh. And you're like, right? And they're like, right? And you're like, I don't know what we're communicating right now, but like, if this is not the right drink, I'm gonna have a freak out.
We're gonna have to go to the hospital.
Wow, I'm so sorry that that barista gave you diarrhea.
Thank you.
And we did call out the coffee shop by name.
We did. Well, you know what?
We're burning bridges
over
here.
Send me a gift card and I'll tell everybody I'm the worst.
Yeah, but everything there is good.
Everything's good.
Assuming they make your
drink
correctly.
I'm gonna go back and get the frozen hot chocolate. I'm just gonna be very clear. No cow's milk.
No, I'm sure you'll be able to taste the difference immediately now because you're traumatized. Like, yeah. I'm sure if you had one tiny sip of it, you would know instantly that it was milk or almond milk.
That's the thing is, like, milk does taste good. Like, the couple times that I've tasted it,
it's unbelievable.
I'm like, what is this nectar of the gods?
It's unbelievable, which is why, like, I just cannot take people seriously when they're like, ooh, oat milk frothed up in a latte. I'm like, no.
Have you had milk?
Have you had just milk? Oat milk is oily. Like, there's something oily.
Oat milk tastes like oats to me. Like, I can tell that there's, like, bread in my coffee.
Yeah.
I'll drink it if there's no soy milk. Like, I'll go to oat, but then I'll say one pump vanilla. So it'll add a bit of sweetness, and then it kind of makes it turn the oat milk almost into soy milk. I have my tricks.
Sure. Okay, so that's your hierarchy would be soy, then oat, then almond.
Yes.
Yeah. I think I would go for a soy, then an almond, and then
No oat milk for you.
Oat milk is, like, honestly a non-negotiable.
Then cows.
I think it's so bad. I mean, it's always cow.
Okay.
It's always cow. But, like, they always have to clarify with me, you know, if I order the drink the regular way, they're like, do you want cow's milk in it?
Okay, and good for them because you won't go to the bathroom.
No, it's good that
day.
It's good that they clarify. I just don't know at what point it became not the default.
Yeah.
You know, it used to be you order a latte, you would just get cow's milk. Now you have to differentiate. But that's how widespread this phenomenon is. And I want to get down to the bottom of it, but I fear that I never will because everybody has a different experience with dairy.
Right. I'm confused about my experience with dairy for sure.
Have you heard about this colostrum trend? Colostrum? I still don't know exactly how to pronounce it.
I have not seen this on my feed.
Yeah. Okay. So maybe I feel like my feed has been more tarnished than yours by like this wellness bullshit. So I see all these wackadoo trends. And maybe this is not a wackadoo trend. It smells like one, you know? Basically, like, colostrum, all mothers produce it when they're breastfeeding before they even produce milk. So it's really important for your baby. And I had heard about it in that context because my relatives who gave birth, like, they would talk about it and stuff. But now they're marketing powdered colostrum for adults.
Oh.
And supposedly it has all these benefits. But it's interesting when these trends pop up and it's always like some powdered milk product or, you know, cow product, like the collagen powder that everybody was putting in their smoothie. It was kind of like a goopy thing.
Oh, right.
And it's always like, how is dairy inflammatory, but this other stuff is totally kosher?
Right.
You know,
and does it make a milk? Do people drink it like it's a milk?
It's a powder, but then you can put it in a drink, or I guess you could really mix it into anything.
Can I get a cold brew with colostrum?
With just pure colostrum powder. Yeah, I want my I want my brain to develop healthily like a newborn babe. Gosh. No, and I don't even really know the benefits, but this actually is the perfect segue because we're bringing on a friend of the show, former guest, Jenna Werner. She's a registered dietitian. She's also the co-host of What the Actual Fork. And she came on with her co-host, Sammy Previtt, sometime last year. Mm-hmm. And they're very anti-diet. They like to sift through the bullshit of these wellness trends.
Love that.
And I've seen her post some stuff about this colostrum trend, and I was dying to get her on because I was like, I need someone to explain this to me, but also to explain how dairy has become so
world
demonized. Yeah. Like, it just happened overnight, you know? So, So we're going to talk to her in a little bit. I'm really excited. I mean, maybe she could illuminate some stuff about your dairy intolerance.
I want to ask her. Yeah, I'm excited to have her on for sure.
One more thing about your dairy intolerance, sure. And I have to remember to ask her this, okay. Or maybe you can ask her this. I feel like maybe because you were raised in a lactate household, you can't process milk because you never started producing that enzyme that breaks down the lactose.
That is such a good question. I almost want to text my mom before we have her on to ask. She's at work, but I'll call her at school.
It's an emergency.
It's an emergency because I'm wondering if we drank lactate just because that's what we drank, or did we switch to lactate after some, you know, some diarrhea.
Right? Because it's
take a
real
shot. We said diarrhea again.
It's a great word also. It's a chicken egg situation that I feel like we need to get down to. We might not get down to the bottom of it today, but hopefully by the end of this episode, we'll feel a little more secure in how we feel about dairy in general.
Yes, please.
This episode is brought to you by Nuuly. Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick, but can't always find the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you, Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for this season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any 6 styles each month. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There are no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. They also have inclusive sizing up to 5X as well as petite and maternity. And you always have the option to buy what you love. I love Nuuly. I've rented so many cute things from there, and I've even made a few purchases from there, and they're always spot on. They have so many brands that I honestly could never afford in real life, so it's great to be able to rent them. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles, but right now, you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code DST20. Just go to Nuuly, that's Nuuly.com, and enter the code DST20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com, Nuuly with 2 U's, with code DST20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. What I love about Shopify is basically how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. I know we use Shopify here at Betches, and honestly, anyone with any kind of business could really benefit from Shopify. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/betches, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/betches now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/betches.
Without further ado, let's bring on Jenna Werner. Hey, Jenna, welcome to the show.
Welcome back.
I'm super excited to be here. This is my favorite topic.
I've noticed that, and I've noticed you posting a lot of content about this very topic, and I'm confused as fuck.
Same.
About the whole colostrum thing. First of all, how do you pronounce it? Is it colostrum or colostrum?
Colostrum.
Colostrum. Oh, okay, so I've been saying it wrong. But that's totally fine, because I knew that was a possibility. Before we even get into that, this is something that, like I said, I've seen you comment on, and I love your insight about this stuff. I feel like you're just no bullshit, and you're really good at, like, differentiating fact from fiction with these wellness trends. And a lot of people claim that dairy is inflammatory for them, and if I'm being perfectly honest, I don't know what they mean when they say that. Is that just digestive issues, or what does inflammatory mean?
I don't think anybody in the wellness influencer space knows what it means either, because it can mean a whole host of things. And like, there's different types of inflammation. There is acute inflammation and there is chronic inflammation. And like, acute inflammation is literally like what keeps us alive. Like, if you think about like your hand getting cut, you get like a cut on your hand, like acute inflammation is what alerts the troops to heal your cut, so that like you put a Band-Aid over it and then you take the Band-Aid off and you're healed. Like, yay, inflammation did its job. Chronic inflammation over time can be very detrimental to our health. And I do want to say, I am a registered dietitian. I do believe that some people, I know for a fact that some people are intolerant to, and dairy doesn't work well for them. Yes, yeah. That's very real, but it's not everyone, first of all. And like, where the inconsistency is, just like, I can't even say it without laughing, is like, colostrum is dairy. Like, it's coming from a human mammal, like the same way that you would get milk, whether it's from a human being and breast milk, because colostrum is the first milk that comes out of the mother's breast before the baby is born and right when the baby is born. And like, to define it, I am not a lactation consultant. I am not a specialist. I have two children. I gave both of my children colostrum. You work really hard to squeeze that out of your body. To my understanding, you only make as much as what your baby needs. And in the first day or so or hours of the baby's life, that's the only food a baby newborn fresh child needs, because their digestive tract is by no means able to digest anything else. And in that colostrum, why they call it like liquid gold and mother's milk is because it's the most nutrient dense, like I'm talking like half an ounce you could possibly squeeze out of your body. And it's all your baby needs for like the first hours to day or so of their life to sustain their life. So it's so incredibly powerful. But to my understanding, now it's becoming a supplement, and it's not, it's still dairy. So let's just start there. It's dairy. Yeah. It's coming from a mammal.
Yeah. Wait. So first of all, this is not human colostrum that people are taking, right? It's from a cow.
It's like a pregnant cow.
Yeah. So I've seen like podcast recordings and snippets on social media, and like the big company that is selling it, that's made it very popular. They claim it's coming from grass-fed cows who have an quote unquote oversupply of colostrum. But in my experience, again, like I had two babies. I breastfed, pumped, whatever in the beginning for both of them. Like, I don't know how you have an oversupply of something that like your body specifically produces for the amount of children that you birth. Like, mm-hmm. It knows how much you need. So like, how are they quantifying if it's an oversupply? How are they deciding? How do we know that the baby calf is getting it first? How do we know that the baby calf is getting enough if it's getting it? How are there so many pregnant cows that are just like giving up their colostrum? Like, there's just, I have so many questions.
Sounds like a marketing ploy, but also, can I be disgusting and say that I would just want it from a person? I want to do the rich person thing and just get it direct from humans.
Good. Yeah. You know, I totally feel that, Lauren, because my sister has two children, and I told myself I would try her breast milk because I really want to know. Yeah. I just really want to know what it's like. How do you resist?
Well, it's already in her. It's in her and then it's out of her. So
yeah, I'd be sucking on my own tit. Like, I want to know. I just want to know. It's out of pure curiosity.
This is a family podcast.
I'm sorry. I'm horrible.
I did sneak it into my husband's protein shakes when he had like a sniffle. And I will say.
Really?
Yeah. And he didn't know. And maybe he will know. And he got better. So like, it's really powerful.
See, when you were describing how nutrient dense it is, I was fully drinking the wellness Kool-Aid. Yes. It might not even be Kool-Aid. Like, I want it. Now I want it.
No, but like, that's the thing. And that's what really like chaps my ass about the whole trend is because it's being marketed not only as this anti-inflammatory, so to go back to inflammation, it's being marketed as this anti-inflammatory solution, heavy air quotes, mm-hmm. to every possible ailment you could think of. So like how, wow. right? Like I even saw a post once where somebody was like, I ran my fastest marathon ever by taking colostrum every day. Like really, is that why? Like, I don't think it is.
Is it because you're training every day? Right. Or
how do we correlate these two things? Like how do we say it's the colostrum? We don't, that's the reality. But the marketing is so strong for this product and the inconsistencies are so wild that it's just, it's taking the world by storm.
Yeah, I mean, you say that people claim it helps with everything, but like specifically are people marketing it for skin or for, you know, or for, yeah. is it for your brain? Like what is it for?
So I will say, and listen, I'm a big proponent of, you know, if something works for you, that's great. I'm so happy for you. But again, my problem is with the marketing for this product. Yeah. It's being like, supposedly, if you were getting colostrum in a supplement form before this craze started, like it would have been recommended to you to support possible gut health issues. If you have like an IBS type of situation, for immune support. So because of the nutrients that are in colostrum, my guess is that it's very supportive of your immune system. Again, like I just roll my eyes in question though. But like our digestive systems are so much more mature than like a 1 day old baby. So like, is it really right. supportive? I don't know. But I've actually never told anyone this before. Can I tell you something?
Ooh, dish.
Oh my God, yeah.
Once I saw all the health benefits of colostrum, I did order it so that I could try it because I was
going
like,
to ask.
Like, is this real? It tasted like absolute pee. Like, it was like warm urine. The unflavored, and I couldn't finish the box. Like I couldn't do it because you can't like mix it in anything hot. So I couldn't put it in my coffee. So it was like had to be in like a cold beverage, and it was no good. But anyways, so now everyone knows my secret. I did try it so that I could really talk about it better. But yeah. Yes, it is being marketed as hair, skin, and nail replacement like supplements. They heavily market it as a competitor, quote unquote, with collagen supplements, but it's completely different. The research that's been done on collagen supplements is completely different and longstanding than what has been done on humans for colostrum supplements. But yeah, they market it for weight loss, of course, because you can't have a diet culture supplement without a weight loss connection. Oh, digestive health, as far as like pooping every day, like you name it, somebody has promoted it.
It will give you a better personality. You'll get laid.
Save your marriage. Like
your kids won't be mad at you anymore if you just take this one.
This magic supplement.
This one thing doctors don't want you to know about.
You mentioned collagen. So what is the difference between the two? With collagen, everything that I've heard is that it's good for your bones.
So collagen is from a completely different part of the bovine, obviously. And it's
what is a bovine? I'm asking
a cow.
For me.
Sorry, cow. It's been researched and studied heavily for its benefits for joint health, in addition to the more cosmetic benefits like
plumping
hair,
up
scale.
Your face.
Yes, and hair, skin, nails, stuff. Skin health in general. Yes, goopy stuff. But like what I absolutely love about collagen is the research on joint health, especially as we age, and how you lose a percentage of collagen every year starting from 30, I believe. It's like 1% every year. And like I'm in my late 30s. That got me. So
yeah,
that is something that it's just different, but the way that colostrum is going after that same like group of people, I just think is really funny. Yeah. And there's now so there's one like main brand for colostrum that has spent many dollars advertising with like the biggest names in wellness influencers, beauty influencers, like makeup specifically. There's one that I screen record every time that it comes across my TikTok because it makes me so mad. And I'm like, one day I'm going to do something about this. But then I stop myself. Like she literally says, like, it's literally cured my this, my that. And I've never felt more beautiful and like all of these things. And I'm
okay,
like,
doctor. Us, take you to court,
right? And I'm like, but wait a minute, like you very clearly have had plastic surgery, you own multiple beauty brands and makeup brands, and like we're not being honest here,
right?
Like, at all.
That's what Emily and I are always saying. We're like, we're not demonizing anybody's personal choices to try things or any type of method for whatever health goal you have, but the way that they are marketed to us is the problem.
It exactly. got me. I'm a dietitian that knows better, and I ordered it. Like, yeah. That's all you need to know.
Yeah, that just speaks to the power of the marketing.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We were talking before we brought you on just about dairy, like how dairy has become very demonized.
It's so sad.
Like, it feels like in the past 5 years, it's become even more demonized, and to the point where we're going to coffee shops and they just assume that we don't want cow's milk. Like, isn't cow's milk used to be the default.
But let me layer this in for you. Yes, milk is being demonized, but like what is the number one trend in weight loss right now? And that's cottage cheese. Where is cottage cheese come from?
A cow.
Thank you. It's dairy. It's milk that's like chunky.
Right. It's the same fucking thing.
It's the same thing. And it's that inconsistency blows my mind. Like it blows my mind.
Because it's the same people who are like, colostrum is the best, but I can't have dairy because I'm lactose intolerant.
100%. But don't worry, the colostrum cures your lactose intolerance.
Because it cures everything.
So like that's where the inconsistencies are just so – it's just – I posted about this today. It's, you know, don't have sugar, but you can drizzle honey on your yogurt. I saw that post 2 days ago.
Oh, somebody. Yeah.
I'm like, it's the same thing.
Literally sugar.
Or maple syrup. People love like the grade B maple syrup, like putting that in their smoothie. Like that's not sugar.
I actually – one thing left over from diet culture for me is the sugar-free maple syrup.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, gross.
I you too,
it
Jenna.
Is gross, oh, come on,
yes,
guys.
I still buy it sometimes.
I still buy it and if I have real maple syrup, I'm kind of like, what is this?
Are you kidding? No. Oh my God. No,
but I like Splenda. So I'm like,
I love Splenda.
I like Splenda sometimes actually because it dissolves way easier. Yeah, in like cold drinks.
I put it in my coffee, like come after me. I don't care. Like I don't hate on it. I just think we lose the conception of moderation in so many things. And people like hate how dietitians say that, but like the statement that the dose makes the poison is very, very real. And that logic is very missed on social media as well. And it's easy to like see a study that's done in rats and like blow it out of proportion. And it's very scary. And when the right fearful words are being used, I would fear it too, right? And so I think that social media is very, very hard to decipher fact versus fiction, number one. But something that I just want to call to everyone's attention is diet culture is very cyclical. And like this whole dairy is bad for you, but have cottage cheese and colostrum is so reminiscent of back when I was a dietitian inside ShopRite grocery store and the gluten-free craze was just starting, not because you had celiac disease, which is very real, and that's when you need gluten-free foods, mm-hmm. but people, quote-unquote, stopped eating carbs, but would eat gluten-free foods. And people would come up to me. My job in this grocery store was to help people find food in the grocery store that like they needed and like that fit their health needs. And people would come up to me and literally say, I'll never forget this. I'm on a low carb diet. Like, can you show me the gluten-free section? And I'd be like, but gluten-free foods still have carbs in them.
Right.
And they're more processed than the whole wheat bread. But sure, yeah. it's aisle 10. It's the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so crazy. I mean, do you see this type of cognitive dissonance with other foods? Like I was thinking about this because I love sourdough bread and I've noticed that sourdough bread is having a moment, but some people are like sourdough is okay, but every other type of bread is off limits.
Not like Dave's Killer Bread is a brand that I've always loved and trusted.
It's so
and like
good.
It's getting I like them.
It's getting ripped apart.
But it is. Like, oh, I have seen
sourdough
that too.
Is fine. Like
it's wild.
Because they sweeten it. I think they use apple juice to sweeten it. And somebody wrote, like, do you know if you make a sandwich with two pieces of bread? Like, first of all, how else do you make a sandwich? Like, you're getting XYZ. It's just so ridiculous. Like, it's ridiculous. So, yes, sourdough is okay, but other breads are not. Processed foods are bad, but greens powders are approved. Where do we think the greens are becoming a powder? In a processing plant or in nature? Like,
I think it's just two women, they stand in a big tub and they stomp on the greens
yes,
until it becomes a powder.
Them.
It's mm-hmm. Lucille Ball.
Totally. Yeah, it's Lucy and Ethel stomping on the greens.
Can I also call out that when people are saying, well, this is good, but this is bad, like they mean like this one will make you fat and this
100%.
One
100%. Thank
know?
You for saying
like,
that.
That's what they mean by mm-hmm. you can have this, but you can't have this. It's like, okay, if you're thinking of everything in regards to shrinking yourself, maybe, but also this logic still doesn't add up, but like that's happening here.
Because we live in a world where the answer to quote unquote health is weight loss, and yeah. that's not true. And like in the same breath, the quote unquote anti-diet movement is getting like back slapped like mm-hmm. all over the news for, you know, telling people to eat anything. And like they're using these phrases without any context. But when you really right. truly understand the definition of health and understand that your mental health, your emotional health, your spiritual health, your, you know, social health, like all of that is a part of health, telling somebody it's okay to eat a food that they love is not telling them to only eat that food to sustain them for the rest of their life. And that's a huge difference in a recommendation that is being very much missed in the news roundup.
But that's not clickbaity, Jenna.
Of course
that's not going to get views.
Like, and that's why my following is very different than the people that are saying, drink the colostrum and you will cure everything about yourself. I mean, people are even saying that you can have, this was the other one, that they don't get the flu shot anymore. They just take colostrum. Like, we're in
stop.
Trouble, people.
Like, oh my God.
We're
stop
in trouble.
It. We're doomed.
No, it's not good.
I'm not okay.
Same.
Have you noticed a shift with your patients in terms of like which foods feel off limits now compared to 5-10 years ago? You were saying it's kind of like a cycle.
I would say people are very much more aware that like unless you have an intolerance to gluten for real, that avoiding it and buying gluten-free products doesn't really make sense because now they're so fearful of processed foods and the rhetoric is that gluten-free foods are more processed, which they are because they have to remove the gluten from it. But if you have celiac disease, it's literally life-saving for you. So mm-hmm. there's a purpose to the processing. Right. But what people are – I mean, back when I was a baby dietitian like 10, 11 years ago working in the grocery store
– I thought you meant four babies. Sorry.
People for babies. I know. Sorry.
The babies would come in, be like, hey, listen, I have tummy issues.
What do? I need colostrum.
Drink your mom's breast milk. That's your plan.
Did you not get enough colostrum because it's being sold to other people? No, I mean, back a couple years ago, people just wanted like high protein bars and things that would meet their quote unquote protein needs. Like that has never gone out of style. They didn't care if it was in the form of a bar or a shake or a supplement or whatever mm-hmm. it was. Like I just remember always helping people find those types of foods. And now they're looking for that, but not processed. So I'm like, so eat eggs. Like, I don't know what else right. to tell
Sounds
you.
Sounds like you want right? some meat and eggs and
it's cheese. And it's the influence of the carnivore diet, which really is like the mecca of all of that. But
I find the carnivore diet so crazy.
It's repulsive.
It's repulsive. Thank you. I wasn't going to say it, although I did say crazy, which is also offensive. But we were talking beforehand. Lauren grew up in a lactate household. And we actually called her mom to verify
this.
Just
a fact check.
Her mom and her grandfather, who she lived with, they were both lactose intolerant. And now Lauren has digestive issues if she, like, she accidentally was given a drink by a barista.
I'm suing.
We have a theory that the barista knew that she fucked up, but didn't want to admit it, but can neither confirm nor deny that. But anyway, you had diarrhea. I can say it.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm like that confusing meme that's going around where it's like, I am the one having, you know, soy milk in my coffee, but cheese on my eggs, and I'm fine. I'll just fart a little bit. But like, if I have milk, cream cheese.
There's different levels of lactose in products too. Like, there are certain cheeses that are lactose free or very low lactose, right? So yes. You could be tolerant. And my husband is the same way. Like, he can't have ice cream without being uncomfortable, but he can have, like, pizza makes him uncomfortable. Like, he could have a piece of cheese and eggs and be fine. It's just like he has found the cheese that works for him. So like, I want to be so clear that being intolerant to lactose and to dairy is very real. And many people have different like levels of it. And it's also like, what can you live with? What feels comfortable for you? What is best for you? And there's a lot of people that still believe the broken record of cut dairy and gluten to lose weight and your health is, you know, so
it
much better.
Like, we need a new word than lactose intolerant, because that's an identity that I latched onto, being like, I'm lactose intolerant. I can't have milk in my coffee. But it's like, I am having cheese. Like, should we start saying lactose sensitive?
Yeah, I think that's smart.
Yeah, that might be. But it also makes me wonder, like, why these people can't just take a lactate pill.
Because it's processed.
I don't consume anything from a pharmacy. No, but like, I do wonder that. Like, I think there's got to be a wellness pseudo health component to it, or else you would just take a lactate pill to eat things that you enjoy. Or is it possible that some people have really bad reactions even if they do take a lactate pill?
I'm sure. I think that there's, again, I think there's different levels of sensitivities and intolerances to it. And like, full disclosure, my son, who's 3, I give him lactate whole milk, because I was noticing a difference in his poop from regular cow's milk versus the lactate. And when he was a baby, his formula was just the more digest the lactose or the dairy free. So whether he has a gene from my husband that's like a little sensitivity, but like, he eats other foods with dairy in it and he's okay. But like, a straight shot of milk will make him uncomfortable.
He sounds like me.
Right. So I think it's quantity, like with most things in health. I think it's quantity. I think it's consistency. And I think it is also, for some people, not saying it's you, but I think for some people, and it's not my toddler either, but for a lot of people, the stress that they feel before they're about to eat something, like the story that we tell ourselves, like, this is going to make me sick. And this has a lot to do with, you know, an eating disorder recovery and disordered eating mindset. That thought that we put on the meal that we're about to eat can actually produce the symptoms that we think we're going to get.
Oh my God. That makes so much sense.
The gut-brain connection is very, very real. And like, the anxiety and stress that you're putting on, like going out to eat, eating gluten if you are afraid of carbs or like whatever it is, that can cause you to bloat. It can cause diarrhea. It can cause discomfort in your digestive tract, because the opposite of fight or flight is rest and digest. And we're very little. I don't want to give out a statistic here, but from what I've read and understand, most people in our country are very rarely in rest and digest when they're eating these days. And like, that's very sad. And I think a lot of it has to do with the marketing that we see on social media.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you for saying that, because I feel like I often underestimate the mind-body connection.
She's
with this
blowing my mind. You're blowing my mind.
Is it true with lactose that, like, if you don't use it, you lose it? And when I say that, I mean, like, is it possible that Lauren, growing up in a lactate house, would not start making that enzyme that breaks down the lactose?
I think, like, without studying enough to give you like a scientific answer to it, like with most things, with your digestive tract and like your microbiome in general, when you don't have diversity in your microbiome, which is your gut, you have a harder time digesting foods in general. So when people like the carnivore diet says like the carnivore diet is really great for gut health, and we know that research shows that variety is the best thing that you could possibly give your gut health to feed different strains of probiotics and just different bacteria in your gut, like that inconsistency just doesn't make sense. So I think the logical response to that is yes, like you're not producing enough enzymes to digest that food because your gut hasn't been flourished with that, or you haven't been taking care of that. So like that's why people who are on a very strict diet, when they have, I think it's twofold, when they have like a cheat day, they overconsume quantity wise, but they're also eating foods that they don't ever eat. And so it doesn't feel good going in or coming out.
Yeah. And they're like, I can't have this. It messes
it's not
up.
Good
and
it's for
like,
me.
I can't have it. So I guess my mom did make
your
me
mom fucked you up.
Lactose intolerant. Yeah.
She was doing the best she could. Okay.
Exactly. We don't blame her.
No, we stand Lauren's mom. Jenna, thank you so much for joining
us
today. Where
me.
Can people follow you?
So I am happystronghealthy.rd on Instagram and TikTok. And also my website is happystronghealthyrd.com. I love you both so much. Thank you so much for having me.
You too.
Thanks, Jenna.
Have a good one.
See you later. I have a quick thought before we sign off.
Yeah.
The thing she was saying about we stress our bodies out and give ourselves stomach aches, I'm wondering if when I realized, oh, I can have dairy again, if it was just me being more chill about what I'm eating because I was practicing intuitive eating.
Oh, I used to have, this is not dietary related, but I have said this before, like I used to have fainting spells. I used to have seizures. Nobody ever knew what they were. I would go to cardiologists. I would go to neurologists, get all kinds of tests done, EKG, EEG. They could never find any kind of seizure activity in my brain. And at a certain point in my 20s, I started taking anti-anxiety medication and the seizures went away.
That'll do it.
And once again, this is very anecdotal and some people do have epilepsy and that's...
Oh, of course.
And they can't control their... But for me, it was 100% anxiety-based. Yeah. And after that, I realized like, oh my God, if my anxiety, which is a mental illness, can affect my body like that, anything is possible.
This is what grinds my gears about the whole, you know, equating health with weight loss thing. It's like the brain, mental health is such a huge part of health to the point that sometimes we can make ourselves sick. It's so real. And so I really appreciated Jenna.
Yeah, and I just, I love her. I love the cut of her jib. You know what I mean? Like, I just love her. I love her her voice. She's super Jersey in the best way. All the coolest girls are from Jersey. And she just tells it like it is. I just love her.
We appreciate you, Jenna.
Guys, that's it for today's episode. Be sure to send your questions to dst@betches.com to get them answered.
Follow us at Everything's Fine on Instagram. If you like this episode, please write us a review. And don't forget to check out our DST merch on shop.betches.com. Rate, review, and subscribe to the show. And follow me at Lauren Hope Crass.
Follow me at Lubination. And remember, we're always with you.
Through thick and thin. Diet Starts Tomorrow is produced by me, Lauren Hope Crass, and Shannon Sassone. Editing by Shannon Sassone. Social media by me, Lauren Hope Crass. Guest booking by Allie Friedlander. Be sure to follow at Everything's Fine on Instagram and send your emails to dst@betches.com. Betches.